5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, top to bottom, east to west, north, south, you name it. We're everywhere. Check us out on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. Yeah. And obviously, we'll be on SiriusXM starting January 7th with the Sports Grid Radio Network. I know I'm stoked for that. Hopefully, you'll be psyched for it as well. And we'll be on all over the Southern Hemisphere when we get on the planet with no oxygen. I know Mavi is excited about that. You know, Mavi is excited about Jim Florentine tonight, a funny guy. We've had him on the show many times over the years. We've also had him on Coast to Coast. I think he broached that endeavor once during the Pharrell Demic. And in the middle of the summer, I think we had him on. And he's a hilarious dude doing stand-up in the COVID pandemic, doing live appearances, doing his thing, doing radio shows, doing podcasts for Barstool. He's all over the place. He's coming up in a few minutes. So I don't know. I was I laid the eight and whatever it turned into, 8.5, 9, whatever it was. By the time they kicked off, I got it, I think, at 8, maybe 8 and a hook. All I know is I was very leery to lay that number with, frankly, Dallas and Dalton. I think they're a lot better with Dalton than anybody else. He's got great receivers. They could easily backdoor a bet and score late in garbage time. So I think that number is just so dangerous at whatever, 9. I don't know, Mavi, what did it close at? Do you know? Was it 9? Is that what it closed at? All right, so we don't even know the spread of the game. I got it at 8.5 when it opened. I know that much. Or I think yesterday or whatever it was. I waited for that line till, you know, I could at the last minute, basically. Originally during a week, we didn't know what it was going to be because they rescheduled the game. What'd you say? It was 9?
Yeah, it did close at 9 today before the game.
All right. I think I got it at 8.5, though. So what's the difference? I need them to win by 9. And I think it's, you know, right now with the spread, it's 24-19. So it's scary. That's a scary number. And I'm losing weight just thinking about it. So we'll come back and we'll talk to Jim Florentine about his Dolphins and everything else and see what kind of trouble we can get into. It's Pharrell on the Bench on Sports Grid Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. So, you know, I was saying before, Jim Florentine's a trip. He's a really funny dude, and he's all over the place. He does a metal show on Boneyard on Sirius that's kick-ass. I listen to it every chance I get. I always knew he was a rock star. From the minute I met him, I thought he was hilarious. And he also does a Barstool Sports a podcast. I think it's like Everyone Sucks or something like that. It's just awesome where he just makes fun of people. I think that's terrific. I love doing that as well. And he's been on Coast to Coast. I said during the Pharrell Demic this summer, I think we had him on once to talk about everything going on in his life. And he's back on the bench tonight on Sports Grid Radio. What's up, Jim? How you doing, buddy?
It's good to be back.
Hey, so... what's the name of the podcast? Did I get it right or did I screw that up?
I like that name better. Everybody sucks. It's Everybody is Awful.
Yeah. I think it's a great show. And I, you know, I think your metal show, and I have to watch what I say because I'm not on satellite yet. and I'll get sued if I say the real name of your radio show because I'm sure that offends people, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, probably. I'm sure. I don't care. I don't get any flack. But yeah, it's I do a show on a rock show. Basically, it's more music, and I talk in between the songs, like a DJ shift, basically playing hard rock and metal.
Right, but you like I listen to it a lot, and I've heard it a lot, and it's weird because unless I'm crazy, like it's on like, cause like I'll go to the gym and work out or whatever. Or I'll go play ball. And then it's on at like 10 in the morning or something like that. Isn't it from like 10 to noon or something like that?
Yeah. They replay it. Like it premieres every Thursday from 5 to 7. It's a 2-hour show. And then they replay it like 4 or 5 times over the weekend and the early next week. So replays 5 times.
Yeah, so I heard it yesterday, and I always hear the beginning of the show or whatever. And you're like, no ballads, and just it's just such great metal that you play. As you know, I'm a huge metal head, and I always have been. So, I mean, you just play some of the greatest songs and the greatest. I mean, you just go so deep into like Judas Priest and all these old bands that are kick ass. And I love that about you. You've never lost your love affair with metal as we continue to get older and older. And you're a dad now and everything else. But underneath it all, you're still a metalhead.
I still haven't grown up. That's what it is. I'm still doing the same exact stuff I did when I was a teenager. I've never changed.
That's true.
We saw Metallica. We went to that festival down in Atlantic City. We saw Metallica do the Black Album from beginning to end. Remember we saw that together?
Right. I think that was the Orion Festival.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And didn't we go?
You were playing air guitar and people were like walking away from you. Like they were, that you were playing air guitar and people were starting walking back like a beer and they were like, that guy's crazy. And they would walk around you at a Metallica show.
That's pretty good though. That I, cause I wish I was actually playing real guitar, but, I remember that, like, I think they canceled that like tour. Eventually they stopped doing it. Right. But they, it's amazing.
Yeah. I wasn't making any money. They right. did in Atlantic City 1 year, and then they did it in Detroit the second year, and it just wasn't working out for them, so they stopped doing it. It was a once-a-year thing.
Yeah, I went to that one too. I went to the one in Detroit too, and that one was actually better because I think if my memory serves me right, I saw the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Deftones at that show.
Yes, yeah, and they did the Metallica "Kill 'Em All" album from beginning to end there.
Yeah, it was great. I had a good time, and then it was cooler. I like the fact that they had it in Atlantic City and in Detroit because they both had casinos. So, like, I think if you remember, didn't we go after the show? We went back to the casino. I forget where we stayed. Like, was it Harrah's or something? And then we drank our faces off after the concert. Is that about right?
We did till like 3-4 in the morning. It was great.
I think those are like the last vestiges of my drinking days. The last drinks I had, well, were definitely in Vegas, but I definitely, you were one of the last few that I had a last call with.
Yeah, I definitely had a few with you, a few of those great moments and stuff. And then one day you're like, look, I got to get my act together. I got children.
Right.
I'm like, oh, you know what? You're right. You're right.
So when my son said one day that he said, well, my wife said, what are you going to do today? And then my son was walking behind her and he goes, he's going to drink all day and watch football like he always does. And then I knew that it was over. I knew that it was over when my own son was like 5 and he's like, he drinks all day and does nothing but watch football and bet. I knew that that was when it was over for me. When your own kid's calling you out for being a loser, that's when you know you got to turn the corner, turn the page a little bit. But, you know, I was just saying, you remember the house? You'd been to the house, right? Like, you had been to my old crib and partied over there. But I moved, right? So I don't know if you remember, because you were definitely there. And you went, remember downstairs I had the cool Howard Stern studio in the basement?
Yep, I remember that.
Okay, so I moved, and like I moved like 5 years ago. I moved from there, and I moved into a bigger house or whatever because I got a bigger family now. And so I'm building a new studio in this house, like the one I had in the other house, because you know we've been locked in these in our homes with this disease floating around. You can't do anything, right? So I've been doing the shows, TV and radio, every day from home for like 10 months. So finally I've destroyed my daughter's bedroom. Just it's Vietnam is what I call it. Like there's cords, lights, cameras, tripods, power cords, Ethernet cords, headphones, microphone stands, weights, everything. It's crazy what I got going on. So I've taken like a siege of her bedroom. And she like, when she sees me now, she like gives me the finger. Cause she's like, you took my bedroom, you scum. And then I'm like, sorry. And then they're all giving me the business. So I'm building a new one down in my basement so I can have a permanent, studio to do all the shows in, and it's pretty cool. I know you had been there. Now, what do you think of the news? I know you know that I'm going back on Sirius because I haven't been on the air in New York since I left there. Do you realize that? Like when I went back to CBS from Sirius and did CBS Sports Radio for 8 years, and then I came here like a year ago to do Sports Grid. I've never been on the air in New York at the radio show. And that just sucks. Right. Like, so, you know, that has to be frustrating. So what did you think when you heard I was going back and Sports Grid Radio is getting channel 204 and we're going to be on there 24/7. Like, you probably didn't give a rat's ass. But for me, it's like it was better than sex, like getting the news that we got our own channel and that I was going back on satellite.
No, look, I loved it. I mean, look, I used to listen to you back in the, I discovered you on The Fan at midnight before you went over to Sirius. And those Sirius days when you do those night shows and me as a comedian being in New York City and I had shows at like 12:30 or 1 in the morning or whatever it was, I'd go by your show and we go hang out for a couple hours and listen to music and talk sports and gambling. It was amazing, those Sirius days when you were on there. So I'm super excited that you're back. Yeah, and I haven't heard your show in years. I think the only time I did your CBS show, I was in Dallas. You were in Dallas, and I was in Dallas at the time doing shows, and I went in the studio there. But other than that,
I haven't heard
your show in years.
I remember that you came by and did that show in Dallas. That's crazy. So, we're going back there, and I'm excited about it because, you know, it's weird. I got to tell you, one of the weirdest things ever for me has been to be on in, you know, to work, you know, to live here and to, you know, pay the taxes and the tolls and the cost of living. You know what it's like in New York. It's crazy. In Jersey, whatever. They're both the same. They're insane. And to be on the air here and go to work here. And I did the show at the Fan for all these years and to never be heard in New York for 10 years. That was like getting kicked in my satchel. I mean, it was just the worst. We'll come back with Jim Florentine and talk about his Dolphins getting ready for the Chiefs on Sunday in South FLA with all of that gorgeous hunk, hunk, hunk.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, for all in a bench with you, check out. Ooh, we're talking to Jim Florentine, the great comedian and radio host at Sirius. So let me ask you, I know you're doing a show with, you know, Don Jameson at Dingbats on December 19th. And it's like, I saw like the ad for it. It's like only a few people like select the first come first serve like crowd for this thing because of the Pharrell Demick and all this social distancing and everything like that. So they're only letting a certain number of people in. Is that about right? And then what's it like? I think it's great that you're still doing stand-up gigs. When were you able to start going back and plying your trade as a comedian in front of some kind of an audience and try to make some scratch?
The first time I was back after like March 13th was my last show. It was like late June. I did one of those drive-in shows where people sitting in their cars and
right.
They beat their horn if they like a joke. It was awful.
Where
the worst
did you do
is,
that?
Is if you do a joke and you only get one beep, it really shows you that the joke bombed and someone just felt bad.
What did, is that where Jameson was doing shows in Pennsylvania or something?
No, I did this one. He probably did some too, but I did this one. I did on my own down in Atlantic City. I was standing on the back of bed of a pickup truck, and people were sitting in cars.
Well, isn't that what Biden was doing? He was doing his at the end of the campaign, wasn't he doing like his rallies were like driving? It was like a bunch of people in their cars.
I was drawing more than Biden though. I think I had a few more people at it.
He had some really bad crowds of like 50 to 60 people. Meanwhile, Trump was drawing 30, 40,000 people with no masks on with super spreader events.
I know.
Oh, God. Do you think that guy will ever, do you think that they're going to have to pull him out of the White House with like the military? You're going to have to drag him out because he just refuses to admit that he got his ass beat.
No, he'll leave. He's going to go. I mean, you know, he's not. You know, he's fighting it to the end. You figured he probably would. You know, look, Hillary still thinks she won that last election. She still thinks it was Russian interference. So, and that's 4 years ago. So the guy's been, you know, crying for the last 30 days. Hillary's been crying for 4 years now.
Right. So when you do this show, it'll be good to get back with Jameson and do stand-up, right? And then with only so many people going to the show, will you guys, like, fist fight for the money?
That's the thing. You got to take a huge cut in the money, but we know that. You know, they can only sell 40 tickets. I think 40 tickets is what they could sell. So, you know, you just deal with it. Like, okay, we got to take a pay cut and work for – you know, a quarter or a half of what our rate usually is. But there's nothing else we could do. I'd rather do that than sit home. I sat home long enough.
What about, have you been getting any legs since the Pharrell-demic started? Or have chicks been afraid of, you know, being near you or anything like that? Have you been able to score?
No, the chicks definitely have been afraid. You know, in New Jersey, too, you know, they've been people petrified here. It's not right. Like Florida. Florida, they don't care. I got a comic friend of mine down there. And it's like, the guy's not a tear. And he's like, they don't care at all. Well, here they do. I'm like, you know, I'm trying. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to give you, I might give you warts, but you're not going to get coronavirus from me. You know, you could always, you could always get them removed. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
I'm going to be on a ventilator for my warts.
So, hey, let me ask you about your Dolphins. They've been playing, you know, I think pretty good football. They're a dangerous team. You know, they beat Arizona on the road by 34-31. Then they beat the Chargers in a good game, 29-21. You lose to Denver out there, which is embarrassing because Denver sucks. And then you beat the Jets, blew them out 20-3. Then you were down to Cincinnati, but you win the game 19-7. And now you have the vaunted Chiefs, who many believe, without a doubt, are the best team in the NFL, hands down, because of Patrick Mahomes. And you're getting 7 and a hook in Hard Rock. Do you like their chances in this game Sunday?
It's going to be a tough one. I'm putting it in the loss column. I just think, you know, Mahomes is just too much. The guy's unbelievable. You know, Tyreek Hill and just the speed they have on that offense. And they, you know, cover. But look, Miami, look, you got to look at Miami. Miami's only in the second year of their rebuild. I mean, remember the first, like, you know, they start off 0-7 last year. They were getting blown out like 58-0. And, you know, within a year and a half, basically, they're in. And they're 8-4. And they're, you know, in the wild card right now if the season ended. So I'm really happy where they are. They'll probably lose this one. I'm hoping they win 10 games. They got New England. They got the Bills and the Raiders left. Those four tough games. They go 2-2. They'll 10-6 will make get them in the playoffs. Just get in the playoffs, maybe win a game, even if you don't win a game, as long as you get in the playoffs. And I'll take that as a great season.
So when I think the guy you have to worry about, obviously you talk about Hill, but it's Kelce that kills people. You know, the guy has 100-yard games, it seems like, every single week. He's had multiple 1,000-yard seasons, touchdowns out the yin. The guy is just an absolute killer. And then it just seems like he runs free and wild in these games, and they throw to him, and he's wide open. It's unbelievable. I remember when they won the game against the Raiders in the last second. Remember the end zone? They threw it to him, and he was standing there. Wasn't anybody within 50 feet of him. It was social distancing touchdown. Do you think that he's your problem on Sunday as much as Hill or Mahomes? If you don't, like, maul Kelce, you're dead.
Well, Miami has had trouble covering tight ends for 35 years. I think the 73 Super Bowl when they beat the Minnesota 24-7 was the last time they could cover a tight end. They're deep. No matter who's there, who's the coach, they can never cover a tight end. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a problem. You know, maybe if they put Howard on them or Jones on them, you know, one of their good cornerbacks, put him on Kelce the whole game, possibly, maybe cover him. But if they got some slow linebacker covering him, forget it. They're finished.
So speaking of Howard, real quick before I forget, because I have early Pharrell-zheimer's, Marianne had called Howard and told him that I was coming back there. And he was like, we love Pharrell. I haven't heard from Pharrell in like 8 years. Is he still in the business? That's what he said to Marianne.
Really?
He's still in the business. She's like, yeah, he's been doing it ever since. So I'm happy that he got a new deal. Do you think he'll do the show now that he doesn't have to go to work? Because he was kind of a germaphobe. You think he'll do it from home now until he's like 100? What do you think? You think he could top 100?
No, I think when Sirius opens back up and this thing goes away and you're going to be allowed back in the building, that, you know, I'm sure that's in the contract that he has to go back to do it.
Oh,
you know, because he got an apartment right around the corner. Yeah, he's been out in the Hamptons doing his show out there. But no, I think that he's gonna. I think he's gonna have to go back into the studio at some point by the summer, maybe. Right now, I don't think it's gonna open till at least April.
Right.
You know, Sirius, and it might even be further. But I think when everything calms down and everything's okay, he'll go back.
Do you will you take the vaccine or do you prefer heroin? Like in terms of shots.
I'm not pro vaccine, but I'll take it if I can get back on the road and have the antibodies. My manager that lives out in California did the Pfizer study. He was and he did it, and he said the first shot he got was fine. 28 days later, he got another one. He felt like crap for 6 hours, like fatigued and achy, like he had the flu. And then within six right. hours, he felt fine. Now he's got the antibodies.
So now he has no worries at all, and he's good to go.
He's good to go. He's got the antibodies, so you're not going to get it again, So my sister got coronavirus early, around mid-March, when the whole shutdown went down. She still has the antibodies, and that's eight months later. Sometimes they last 4 months. Who knows? They're not sure exactly how long they last, but how long they last, you're good.
Wow. So what did you think?
I'll take it if I can get back on the road and travel. There's a lot of states that are open doing comedy and stuff, so I'll do it, whatever I got to do.
Right.
I put worse things in my body.
I know you have. I hope that you get back out on the road. You're awesome doing stand-up, one of my favorites all the time. What did you think when your head coach – I got about 90 seconds. What did you think when your head coach was ready to throw fists and hands in the game against the Bengals?
It was beautiful. I'd love to see that as a coach. That's the kind of coach I want that's going to go on the field and want to go fight somebody. That was beautiful. I was used to, Joe Philbin was before Adam Gase, and Stephen Ross, the owner, hired him. He said, because he's very organized. Oh, that's why you hired him? So my aunt is organized, too. How come you didn't hire her?
So do you think your baseball team will ever be good again, the San Francisco Giants, or are they just going to continue to suck?
They're going to continue to suck. They play that friggin' nerd baseball, get this guy on base and this and that. Gabe Kapler's the worst manager in baseball. He takes a pitcher a perfect game in the fifth inning of 40 pitches, and he takes him out. And he throws nine pitchers in a game. He stinks.
Does it kill you that the Dodgers won it as a Giant fan?
It didn't even feel like a season, like it was real. So, whatever. I was rooting against them. What am I going to do? They're going to win it at some point. The Giants are not going to be good for the next 10 years. But they won three World Series, so I'll take it.
Yeah, you got a lot of rings. So Dingbats, December 19th, that'll be better than the college football big championship games that day. All day long on the 19th, there's championship games and conferences. But by then, everybody will have COVID. It won't matter. So go see Jim Florentine and Don Jameson at Dingbats in New Jersey. Jim, good catching up, brother. My man, I love you.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
All right, there is Jim Florentine on the bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Just an update on this football game. I just saw it's the Cowboys that have the ball at the 1 yard line. I thought I saw the Ravens in the end zone, like they had scored. What did they pick off the ball, but it was ruled that he didn't catch it or something like that, Mafia? Did you happen to see that play?
They're going for the interception, but it was ruled that he didn't get it. So the Cowboys keep possession and still have it first and goal.
So see what I mean? This game is so crazy. It's 27-10 Ravens, right? And you're laying 9, whatever it is today. Elliott is stopped at the 1 on second and goal, so they still haven't got in. If they get in, this game just keeps getting closer. They'd be down 10, getting 9, and there's still 5 minutes left.
If they get
we'll keep our eyes on it.
Peterson and screw the bettors by going for 2 and cover on the back door.
Oh God, humanity! Don't even say that to me. I got enough problems. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider from Harvard, the professor, a legend on the bench. He's with us tonight, per usual, on a Tuesday night. How you doing, Rick?
Good. I've been watching this game. It's not boring, but the Cowboys have so far to go. Boy, I'll tell you, no defense.
What do you think of Lamar Jackson tonight in terms of we already know he can run the ball. He's thrown the ball a little bit better. I saw him throw a touchdown pass to Brown.
Well, he also has the quickest feet of any human being I've ever seen, and so that's part of that. And then his accuracy is he missed a wide open, I guess it was Boykin in the end zone last series. But he's doing okay. He's look, he was on the COVID list last week, so you got to catch. You got to give some of these guys a break. So he's playing well enough to beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, but he's thrown a couple TDs, but he's got 107 yards on 12 of 17. So he's throwing it around 6 yards a pop, and it's just so soft. His game passing the ball. The Ravens, to me, they have no passing game. Like the Steelers have no running game. I mean, if Connor's not playing with COVID, they have no running game. I think when he plays and he's healthy, they can run the ball, the Steelers. By the way, Cooper scored a TD from Dalton in the back of the end zone, and now it's a 10-point game, 27-17 with 4 minutes left. So it's getting closer. Do you think that I'm crazy when I say that they're soft? They just can't throw the ball. So how are they going to go anywhere in the playoffs if they even make it?
Yeah, I know. But, the only team on the AFC side that is semi-complete are the Chiefs. They didn't look great this weekend, but they look better than everybody else. And then who knows what's going to happen. My heart is starting to get – I'm a little nervous, man. I'm telling you, like the 80s with Marino, my heart's starting to get dolphin-like, although they don't have enough skill position players. But you never know. That Flores is a first-class coach. They're 8-4, and they've got 4 really tough games coming up, so we'll have to see.
So I just had Jim Florentine on, the comedian. I think you've met him before at Sirius when we used to do Howard.
Yep.
He does shows on Boneyard and on Barstool. He's a very funny stand-up comedian. He's a gigantic Dolphin fan like you are, and he thinks they'll probably lose to the Dolphins. All he wants is to get 2 more wins and to get 10 and to get into the playoffs. And he said, I don't even care if they, if they win a game, that would be great. If they don't win a game in the playoffs, I'll be happy with making the playoffs. And the progression of the Dolphins under Flores is what he's excited about.
Well, so am I, and so are you. But when you get into the playoffs, you always think that you have a chance of going somewhere. There are a couple of years there where they didn't deserve to be in, and I think they played in 2008 and they won the division. They played Baltimore. Baltimore killed them, and you expected them to lose even though it was at home. But when you're in the playoffs and you lose, I don't care what anybody says. You're not very excited about that. And look, who's better than them right now as far as the stretch? You don't know how the distance between them and Buffalo and Kansas City are. I guess we're going to find out. But right now, their defense is playing as well as anybody.
Yeah, I think they're just probably one step below the Bills, in my opinion. And I think the Chiefs are 4 steps ahead of them. And I think the Steelers are a step behind.
And it'll be interesting because I was just thinking about if Tua plays as well as you hope he does, it's going to be the Bills and the Dolphins contending up top for a long time, which is good to see. We haven't seen that in 20 years.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, what do you think of the Miami Canes? They have a huge game with North Carolina. Now, I know your daughters, some of them went to Duke. And did they both go to Duke, or one went to North Carolina, didn't she?
Yeah, and the other Duke. Yeah, I love them, but to hell with them this week.
That's right.
I'm a Cane fan, always will be a Cane fan. And at the end of the day, I assume if they beat North Carolina, then they're Orange Bowl bound, I guess is the way people are thinking about it.
Listen, do you do they give you grief that you're – because they know you're a Canes fan with me. Do they give you grief when North Carolina or Duke plays Miami? Because Miami just spanked Duke's ass 45-0, 48-0, whatever it was. It was beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. But remember last year Duke beat Miami, so that was not beautiful. No, I tell them that, you know, I don't have an independent thought when it comes to the Canes, and you make me root for them versus Duke or North Carolina. They buy it.
So, Tech Top 5 this week, SoFi Stadium's most prized amenity is invisible. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that they've got a whole lot of stuff that people are going to love, but there are no fans to see it. For example, they've got a translucent roof canopy, a beach house. Can't wait to see this one next year. You and I got to go. 75,000-square-foot executive club. Four bars. One for wine, one for whiskey, one for tequila, and one for champagne. How about that? And so
wow.
They say it's a, you know, 2.5 gigabit per second data transmission as far as the top tech facility, 5G. And the bottom line of this facility is it is an incredible building that $5 billion cost to build it. And nobody gets to see it, at least this
year.
So
what does it mean, like, in terms of the technology that all these stadiums like that one and Mercedes and even Citi Field, Lambeau, have all got 5G in them now?
Yeah, well, you know, they're testing it as far as the 5G product, which is supposed to be the best reception in the history of the world. Verizon is sure banking on it. And what they did is to put it in stadiums first before they did it in other places, and then people would get excited about it. So Citi Field, Superdome, Lambeau, and now SoFi are all kind of experimental homes for the 5G reception, and it's supposed to be you know, that much quicker, that much better. I guess we'll just have to see.
So how about this story you're running about teams and leagues and sports using, you know, music that, you know, basically illegally because of licensing and ASCAP fees and things like this. Same thing in radio. You can't play the songs unless you paid the piper. Are teams stealing music or something?
Well, but teams have been doing it all the time. But now I guess everybody, because of COVID, is trying to squeeze every nickel out of everybody. And, of course, we love lawyers because the law firms are the ones that were writing a memo. So Major League Baseball, in their meetings last week, started a discussion about the use of music on the digital platforms, the walk-up music, the other stuff that they use, the digital, and it said that you've got to make sure that it's with permission because we're not going to pay for it and we're going to hold you responsible. And the same thing with the NHL, digital and social strategists, the PR staff, they're all trying to track down unlicensed and unauthorized music. So the industry's cracking down as their tracking capabilities improve. So the more you can search it, the harder it's going to be to get away with it.
Amazon, once again, the exclusive source of live NFL game content. So that's in concert with Twitch, right?
Yeah, now the Cardinals and the Niners on the Saturday, December 26th, apparently will have a game where it will not air on national TV. If you can't get it on Amazon Prime or Twitch, you're out of luck. This is one of those examples where you're going to force people into trying to get games on their own devices. It only happens once a year, but this is another way where the NFL is going to try to cultivate new bidders. So don't be surprised in the bidding cycle if Amazon, Twitch, even Hulu, some of the newer companies are bidding for rights like NBC, CBS, ESPN, etc. And why is that important? Because the rights fees are going to go up and more money for everybody.
Are TV advertisers cutting back big time?
Yeah, they are. And so they cut back because of the pandemic, clearly. Now, advertising dropped about 16% this year. About $155 billion. Why? The pandemic, obviously. It would have been worse, but remember, this is an election year, so you had to pay for all those garbage ads for both sides. Next year, you'll have a pandemic for half the year and no political ads at all. So it'll come back. It's just going to come back slowly. And so the 2021 year will be better, but not back to normal.
How about Good Sports 5? How about the My Cause, My Cleats? They've been doing that since Sunday. All these guys are wearing specialized cleats.
Isn't that cool? 20% chose social justice messaging, 17% youth, 14% health and wellness, 13% cancer awareness, 25% animal cruelty, anti-bullying, domestic violence, gun safety. Really good stuff. And, of course, as they said, each of these tell an individual and a different story, and those stories are very interesting to people.
So, touchdown Ravens, now 33-17. Dobbins scored, and now Tucker the extra point with about 2:08 left. That should ice it for at least the Ravens winning and covering the 9. ESPN's V-Week for cancer research, of course, everybody knows what that's all about. And they've raised over $127 million. It has been a great thing that they started going all the way back to Valvano's passing.
93. So they've raised money since, for over 20 years. It's been an incredible event, more and more money every single year. They've been doing it not just December, but all year round, and keep going.
Under the Grapefruit Tree, the C.C. Sabathia story coming out on HBO December 22nd, I got about 45 seconds. That's going to be pretty cool, the story about his last season.
Yeah, and he looks back at his legacy, the challenges that shaped him, the battle with addiction that came to a head in 2015 with the Yankees, and he struggled for a long time with alcohol addiction and anxiety. He's a very candid guy. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's a really intelligent guy. I can't wait to see it December 22nd.
All right, Rick, great stuff. Enjoy the Dolphins-Chiefs game and the Heels-Canes game. Hopefully they'll get that game in on Saturday without any COVID problems. We'll see you again next week on Coast to Coast and on Pharrell on a Bench.
All right, man. See you.
All right, there he is, Rick Caro on a Bench. All right, the Ravens are up 34-17 on the Cowboys. Just got done with a two-minute warning, and Dalton's trying to move the Cowboys up the field. I mean, they're down. This game's over. They're up 17, and I'm going to hit both ends of this thing. Ravens and minus the 8.5, 9 probably today if you were laying the points. Mafia, I hit the Bills to win, Bills with the points. And then I hit the Washington spread against the Steelers. The only game I got wrong was I thought Pittsburgh would win the game. But I'm going to end up going 5 of the last 6 bets here to end the week. And I thought, I laid it. I told you today on Coast to Coast, I laid it with the Ravens. But I think it was a dangerous lay at 9. Dallas had every chance to cover that spread in this game, and they just didn't get it done. And then Baltimore just kept running it down their throats. It seemed like it was definitely the running game that was the difference, especially that last drive. They just kept pounding it down their throat, and then Dobbins goes in and scores, and it's game over. So looks like the Ravens will win and cover here tonight, and I'll end the week with a huge, strong week of bets in the NFL.
It'll be a huge week overall. I think at 20-10 is what you did in the NFL this week, so that's an awesome week. You know, 2/3 of the bets, 67%, can't beat that.
Yeah, I can live with that. I'm really stoked, and I hit 65% of the college football bets on Saturday. I went crazy again. And by the way, I've already given you, right, I gave you all the Dead Sea Scrolls for this week, which is all college and pro plays. They went up last night, so they're already up on PharrellOnTheBench.com. And when you watch this team, I just can't believe they're going to be 3-9, the Dallas Cowboys. Can you believe how bad they are?
It's really amazing with how much you hoped from them. You know how dangerous they're supposed to be with this incredible offense, and they're just going to blow everybody out of the water. And even with Dak, they struggled. You know, when they were putting up points, but the defense, once again, that they didn't address, didn't fix, and the few moves they did make blew up in their face, and the defense let them down again. They should have learned from last year, and they didn't.
All right, so I was looking at a lot of these college games. We'll get into that when we come back. There's been so many, and I'll hit all the scores that matter, and we'll wrap this Raven-Cowboy game up. If you have Baltimore, you're going to win your money.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.